Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hello, Anthony Rai.
Hello, Shavua Tov. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, the latest news on the corona front, which is where we're going to start today, because we haven't spoken about corona for so long, is that we had 4 new cases of corona in the last 24 hours. So that is really, I think that says almost everything about Israel's current corona situation.
Okay, so is that up or is that down?
4.
Did you have 0 the day before?
I don't think we've had days of 0, but like 4 is almost 0. 4 is like, you know, almost the equivalent to 0 in our world for sure.
Got it.
And obviously it's incredibly low compared to the tens of thousands that we were diagnosing at some point over the past few months before the vaccination program really took hold. So yeah, it's really good news. Some consideration still being given to vaccinating the 12 to 15 year olds within the next week or two. There seem to be some nervousness about the vaccine at that particular, in that age group, even though it has been authorized by the FDA. But in all honesty, with only 4 new cases in 24 hours, one could almost argue that we're managing without them being vaccinated.
You know what is so amazing is with the number of people in the Israeli population who have been vaccinated, it is quite startling that you even have 4.
It doesn't surprise me because obviously there are all kinds of new variants coming around.
Yeah.
And let's bear in mind that out of the total population, I think we've only, in inverted commas, vaccinated something like 60-odd percent, in the 60s anyway, given that, you know, there's so many people who are not eligible or not yet eligible to be vaccinated. So I'm not quite sure what percentage of eligible people have been vaccinated, but obviously it's a relatively high number.
Sure.
If we have 60, 65%, I think, of the total population. So it seems to have reached a point where there's a critical mass, and people talk about herd immunity, and there's lots of discussions about it. I don't necessarily want to get into that whole discussion, but I think we've reached critical mass where we open everything. The cinemas will be opening next week. The restrictions that have been in place on limiting the number of people attending events and things like that will be lifted from tomorrow. There is still some discussion as to whether masks should be worn indoors or not. At the moment, they are not required outdoors, but they are expected to be worn indoors. But that seems also to be on its way out pretty soon.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Anthony, I'm not just a little bit jealous. I would love to come and see my children and family and friends there. Anyhow, Anthony, can we just talk about a terrorist was shot dead after infiltrating Israel from Gaza yesterday. So what are the details that have been released?
Okay, so what we know is that, I mean, we obviously have this very significant security fence that is constructed and goes along the border of Gaza. It is a wall. It's a wall that goes down below the ground to prevent tunnels from being burrowed underneath the border. It's a security fence above the ground. It has sensors, and it is smart, and it has cameras, and it has dozens of people whose job it is to watch these cameras and to monitor the sensors. Sure. As someone said to me when I spoke to them recently, these are people who, when they are going to sneeze, have to have somebody behind their back to keep watching the screen so that they don't close their eyes for that second and miss out what might be on the screen. That's the level of intensity where cameras and sensors are being monitored. So it comes as no surprise that the individual who tried to break through the fence and indeed succeeded was very much under watch every step of the way. Unfortunately, when the border patrol came across him, it was, I think, within something like around 5 kilometers from the border by the time they managed to intercept him. And he did actually stab a security person, an Israeli security force who had come along to intercept him. But at that point, the terrorist was the term that is used was neutralized, which means really that he was shot dead because he was beginning to attack people around him. And so that was really the end of that. But it is obviously a concern that people are still trying to break through the Gaza border fence trying to harm Israelis. And that's exactly why we've got the super smart security fence that goes around that prevents the underground tunneling. And it also picks up people who might be trying to break in overground. That was certainly one of the things that was of concern during the recent operation Guardian of the Walls, when there was a concern that some people from Gaza may well try to break overground. And there were forces from the IDF who were lined up along the border fence in order to intercept any possible break-ins. There was one yesterday, but fortunately it ended up the way it did without too much death and injury that could have been caused if that individual had been allowed to have free rein.
Anthony, just to be clear, so they do know where he got into Israel?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that would all be already monitored on the cameras. The sensors would have been triggered. So the moment people even approach near to the security fence, one can imagine that they would be very, very clearly monitored. Carefully monitored. It doesn't come for free at all.
Yeah. All right. Apparently there are reports of a possible prisoner swap between Hamas and Israel. Let's talk about this. This sounds fascinating. The last one wasn't so good for Israel. The last prisoner swap, wasn't that the one with Gilad Shalit?
Yeah. So, you know, when you talk about not so good and quite good, it's very, very difficult for us to really monitor how good or bad these things are.
Yeah.
At the moment, we have the bodies of two IDF soldiers who were killed during Operation Protective Edge and whose bodies have been retained in Gaza by Hamas. And of course, there's a lot of work underway to try somehow to repatriate those bodies, to give them a burial in Israel as they deserve. There are also two Israelis who have made their way into the Gaza Strip of their own volition and who have disappeared within the Gaza Strip. We're not quite sure what the status of those two individuals is. And so they are the four people who are the subject of this prisoner swap. The Israeli foreign minister has been in Cairo talking to his Egyptian counterparts, and indeed the chief of intelligence of Egypt has been in Israel talking to his Israeli counterparts. And so there is some talk about a possible prisoner swap. There have been some attempts to somehow try to disconnect the talk of exchange of prisoners from the ongoing ceasefire that we now have from Operation Guardian of the Walls. It's certainly the Hamas government in Gaza has been doing whatever they can to try to disconnect the two together, the one from each other. But we are still hopeful that Hadar Goldin and Oron Shaul, whose bodies are in Gaza, and also Hisham Al-Said and Avera Mengistu, the two Israelis who made their way into Gaza, somehow will be repatriated. There has been talk about the possibility of some very, very senior Fatah individuals who are currently in Israeli jails possibly being part of the so-called prisoner swap. None of that has really been verified at the moment, but that certainly does seem to be a possibility, including the very, very senior Marwan Barghouti, who, of course, is very influential and has been touted as a possible successor to Mahmoud Abbas as the president of the Palestinian Authority. So that talk is ongoing. It's not clear what the status is. But I would say that a successful prisoner swap is one where we get Israelis back home where they belong. Unfortunately, there is a price to pay for it. And the question is, you know, is the price too high? Can the price ever be too high? Particularly when the person, the individual, the body who's coming back to Israel is a member of your own individual family. And I think we always like to feel as if though these are members of our family who are coming home either to be buried or to be reunited with their families. So I don't know how we can measure the success or failure. Clearly, when Gilad Shalit was exchanged, there was a very, very large number of prisoners who were exchanged.
1,027.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah,
I don't know whether that's a success or a failure. I mean, I know that many of them went back to terror activities. Many of them were rearrested. Some of them actually carried out some terror attacks. So there was a price to pay. But again, I don't know really how we can measure this on a, on an objective basis.
So it's quite interesting, Anthony, because there's a price and there's a cost, right? The price is how many people subsequently died in Israeli in terrorist attacks committed by people who were released under that Gilad Shalit deal. The cost, if sitting from outside Israel, is I see it as putting a price and an actual value on the head of Israeli soldiers, because now they become a commodity to be traded. And
sure,
that's just my personal opinion, you know. And
well, I don't think that that's really new. I mean, that's a situation that's existed already for some time. I don't think that we're revealing anything that's unknown already to Hamas, to Fatah, to whoever our enemies might be, who are trying to constantly kidnap Israeli soldiers, Israeli nationals in general. And they know that we value these people a lot more than they value their own, and that we would enter into such prison exchanges. That's already not a new thing. It's very difficult for us to know on the day of the exchange exactly what people are going to be doing, some of those prisoners who might be released, what they may go to do afterwards, whether they might just seek a quiet life or whether they will return to terror activities. So again, I'm not really quite sure how to evaluate this. At the moment that the time comes to make a decision as to whether you bring those people home and you then give up whatever you're giving up on, I don't want to be the one to vote against the deal and say, oh, I'm sorry, there's too many people being exchanged. I don't think we're going to allow Gilad Shalit or Oron Shaul and Hadar Goldin. I don't think we're going to allow them to come back. Because if we reduce the deal by 5 or 10 or 15 or 3 people, then it would be worth it. Then yes. But otherwise, no. I don't really want to be the guy who's taking that decision.
We'll get to talk about it though, Anthony. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And I'll catch you tomorrow morning with Howard Feldman at 7:45. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks for having me.